wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. How are we?
We're good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Living in a new America?
It is definitely new.
As Van Halen said, might as well Trump?
Yes. In a world where we are living in alternative facts, we're here to provide alternative thoughts.
I'm all about alternative facts.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me look better as a person.
It really does.
Just give you facts saying that I'm awesome.
I'm sorry, these are alternative facts. You don't agree with this?
My great head of hair?
Mm-hmm.
Alternative fact.
Alternative fact. Jeremy has the best hair on this podcast. Alternative fact.
There it is.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about. Interesting week in the Premier League, as a lot of ups and downs in that top six.
Mostly downs in the top six.
Yeah, as far as they would all be concerned. Interesting ones. In a week where, by and large, outside of City, Spurs, you're talking about a lot of the bigger clubs playing much inferior opponents.
Oh, yeah. No, it was,
and yet a real struggle.
It was unexpected struggles.
Even the wins. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Chelsea beat Hull, but it was not a cakewalk.
No, it was not. So we'll get into that in plenty. In fact, there was also a bunch of domestic news to get into. Not necessarily all here as far as taking place on American
right.
shores. But there's a lot of stuff that was kind of going on across the seas, too. So we've got lots of that to get into.
Do we have a friendly coming up this week?
I think we do. The first of the January camp friendlies.
We got like the one that's like at the end of January, and then like the one at the beginning of February in Chattanooga.
Well, they sneak up on you because
I don't even know where the first one's at.
Whenever the national team games happen, you're typically expecting like a bunch of other national team games
right.
to happen.
You know, like an actual international break.
Yeah, a normal international break. This one is completely different in the fact that all of European soccer is happening. And suddenly the national team is playing. So it will absolutely creep on you. And I think it is this week. So
hooray.
Something
enjoy.
Else for us to talk about on the next episode, I presume.
But first we need to get into fantasy.
That's
and
right.
give us the scuttlebutt on that.
For the most part, you and I did crap this week.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of was like, keep an eye on it. I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That guy didn't do much. That guy didn't do much.
Yeah.
That guy did nothing too.
And the worst part is like I've had these couple up weeks, the last couple weeks. I've done well. I've climbed the table a bit.
False hope.
Hot on your heels, maybe even. This week, all that came to fruition because this was the first week in like the last month where I've changed my team. I was like, oh, this is the week. I'm going to pop ahead of Jeremy. It's all going to work out. It did not work out.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It really does. Not go the way you want it to. I fell four places to 57th. Not drastic, but it's disappointing given that I thought I had a good lineup in. I even left Diego Costa in. We'll get into that more later. You fell nine places to 53rd.
Oh, piece of crap.
So
what?
Off the first page.
Oh, that is a tumble.
And we are now just within striking distance.
Mm.
This has happened a couple times this year.
I don't like this.
I usually get close, then you pull away a little bit. Now we're right in the thick of the fight. So neither one of us did very well this week. Someone who did do well, Tequila and Nachos FC, Aaron Matty, his team leading for the second week in a row, still ahead of James Thomas and Genius FC. So congrats to you for retaining the position one extra week. There is your fantasy. Let's get into the reality.
And reality starts with your guys coming back from 2-0 down. The most unsafe lead in all of soccer.
That's
that
right.
2-0 lead.
Everyone loves that cliche, but it's so true.
So true. Yeah. It's a bit stolen from hockey. That was a very landmark foundational truth about hockey. If you have a two-goal lead, you're probably going to screw it up.
Did hockey steal it from soccer, though? Or was it soccer from hockey?
I don't know. There's so much hockey, though, so many games. I would say the average NHL team blows a two-goal lead about a dozen times a season.
That is a sport much more prone for swings like that.
Right, because you're much more likely to have a final score of like 4-6.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Do you feel like you heard that quote for the first time because that's the sport you played when you heard it the first?
I mean, yeah, there's probably some bias in that. The fact that I grew up in a hockey environment.
I'm saying that because I grew up in a soccer environment, also played some hockey as a youth, so we can relate a little bit. But I heard it first in soccer, so I feel like it's a soccer thing. Anyway, that's a sidebar that we really didn't need to get to. What we're really talking about...
It's a Spurs
about,
thing.
It's a, it's a Spurs thing that City did this time.
Where do you want to start with this? I mean, your guy's obviously a huge... point for you anytime you go up against one of the other big clubs in that top six as we look at it right now to get anything away anything from that you have to look at the positives and especially in the case of coming back from 2-0 down.
Well, let's just start with the easy obvious thing here. If you told me before the game that we'd get a draw
take a point
at City, take it in a minute, especially given that we clobbered them at home. So that alone, like I'm completely fine with the result itself. I think where I find trouble as a Spurs fan is how bad Tottenham looked in the opening half of that game. Like City crushed them as far as attacks went. And Hugo Lloris maybe had his worst showing 45 minutes wise.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 5-minute span also that was the undoing, it looked like.
So first was the Spurs fans' biggest fear in sweeper keeper Hugo Lloris misjudging when he should come out for a ball right on the edge of his area.
Apparently whatever Claudio Bravo has is contagious because it wafted across the field.
Right to
you. And Lloris inhaled it.
Yeah. Went up for a challenge right on the edge of the box with Raheem Sterling. Completely misjudged it. Sterling got there first and had an easy, really easy tap in. And then a few minutes later, bundled across. Granted, there was pressure. I don't want to say it was the easiest cross to maintain, but it wasn't that hard either. And he just spilled it right to Kevin De Bruyne. And within 5 minutes, we were talking about two really easy goals for City. So while Spurs were getting overrun, they were holding. And those two mistakes from Lloris, just you felt like they were buried given how City were playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to go 2-0 down, City is running at 100 miles per hour. They got the home crowd behind them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all thought, well, this is toast.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely went into the half thinking, wow, Spurs are in trouble. Now, they did make some formational adjustments. Spurs have been going with this back three of late that seems to be in vogue at the moment. Definitely one of the forebears of that and are doing, probably some of the best performances in that formation in the Premier League at the moment, but it all just kind of fell to pieces. So they switched to a back four, readjusted things. Kevin Vimmer came in. He eventually came out. And in the second half, Spurs immediately turned things around. Dele Alli, 5 minutes and a half, picks one up, and you feel like, all right, there it is. We're about there. Like maybe they'll be able to pip this thing out. And then the Kyle Walker push happened.
Yeah.
One of many, 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 many refereeing controversies this weekend.
Yes.
We'll hit that again. I think that's
inevitable. I think Press Secretary Spicer said officiating was immaculate this season.
It was.
It was immaculate.
It was definitively the best refereeing that he'd seen all season.
Period.
Kyle Walker gave Raheem Sterling on a break into the box a pretty evident shove right as he was about to shoot. I think play on was probably the call that was given. I think it's fair to say that City were deserving of a penalty here. Let's not rule that out. But given how the refereeing had gone all match, it wasn't that surprising because Raheem Sterling had shoved over Danny Rose in the opposite box in the first half. No call, like at all. And Danny Rose ended up getting hurt from the matter to begin with. So It was kind of par for the course. If you're asking for consistency was had in this match, without a doubt.
It was, and obviously you guys get back into this one. You score the two goals. You get the point. It was obviously awesome for you, but for City, ooh, that's not good. It's just when Pep thought he was like, hey, we're back on track.
It was another chink in the armor for Pep.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of showing like, just when you think maybe he's got it under control now, not so much.
It was as we both swallow some beer there.
That's right.
as things go for Pep, this could have been a big statement for him that he's got things taken care of. Especially, I mean, obviously, just the most basic thing of a clean sheet for Claudio Bravo against a good side would have spoken volume over the criticism that has been coming at all angles to him.
Yeah, and it wasn't exactly like he showed well for himself
in the Right, he didn't half. Have to do a whole lot, yeah. Especially in the first half.
Yeah.
He was not really called upon.
No, but when he was called upon in the second half, he was pretty much non-existent. So the issue of Claudio Bravo looms very large.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it up last week. This will go down as the biggest mistake of the season from a managerial standpoint in the Premier League.
That's right.
The getting rid, sending off Joe Hart, who for all of his shortcomings, the man has won a Premier League title.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, two, if I'm not mistaken.
To send him off, bring in quote unquote your guy, and then that guy is a complete sieve.
Not ideal.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the struggle and the learning curve, I guess you could say, that Pep is having.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So Pep continues to struggle. Pochettino gets a huge point on the road. Spurs not necessarily climbing in the way that they want, but I think everyone, much as I said earlier on, will be more than happy with a draw away to City.
Let's move on, and we look at other teams in that top six contenders, and we have to start with the match that started off the day.
The weekend.
This Saturday morning, Liverpool 2, Swansea 3.
Hashtag Paul Clements better than Bob Bradley.
Hashtag Bob would have done. Oh,
yeah.
That doesn't work
anymore. It really was one of those matches where it seemed like the Bob Bradley haters were out in full force, saying Bob Bradley could have never done this. First off, let's just separate that subject away for a minute and say, holy crap, Swansea beating Liverpool.
At Anfield.
At Anfield. I feel like that's been a bit of a bogey match. I don't know if I'm making that up in my head or not, but I feel like Swansea have always given Liverpool a little bit of trouble ever since the Brendan Rodgers days. But I think at the same time, Liverpool have kind of been waiting for this bit of a letdown. Like, they've been rolling. They've had, like, success even when injuries have been taking a toll against them. They were due to start dropping some points.
I mean, Paul Clements, it was such a big win for him. I think he's about ready to go leave his wife and get fake chiclets.
Ooh, that's what everyone
should. And wait for that Liverpool call.
That's the best way to handle it. By the way, I'm just going to a little sidebar off on the Bob Bradley topic just for a second here.
Okay.
I saw a ton of people giving credit in this match to the fact that Swansea brought in two new players. One was Martin Olsen in the back, and then the other ones.
You mean in that championship level back line that they had?
Yeah, Martin Olsen has been relegated like four times, by the way. And then there was someone else that they brought in, and the name is escaping me at the moment. But both of them performed very well in this match. And everyone was instantly like, oh, this is why you brought in Paul Clement, so you can get in players like this. Can we not judge Bob Bradley on a transfer window he didn't get?
We're now imagining what he would have done.
Yeah, I'm fine with you saying he didn't do well with the tools he had at his disposal. That's a fair argument. Paul Clements managed some decent results with those same tools. But on the other side of the equation, you can't sit and say, like, Bradley wouldn't have been able to achieve something if you actually didn't get to see what he achieved. Like, yeah, maybe,
yeah,
they,
fair enough.
Maybe they were concerned with the context that he had, and we don't know about that behind closed doors. Yeah, that's an argument that you can make, but can't really prove.
You think it wouldn't have to be said that, hey, we can't critique a man on things that are hypothetical. On what his hypothetical transfer window would have gone.
Let me give you some alternative facts.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's get out of that.
It was a Llorente brace, followed by Firmino brace, and then Gylfi Sigurdsson said, this one belongs to us.
And this one belongs to the Reds?
Is that the phrase you're looking for? Yeah, it didn't in this case. It did not belong to the Reds.
No, it didn't.
The Reds lost.
That's right. So Liverpool fall United, let's move over to there. That's another side in the top six.
Uh-huh.
That has been on a bit of an upswing. A little bit Liverpool-ish in the way that they've been climbing the table.
Stoke won, United won.
They almost tripped it up.
They did. Wayne Rooney comes on late in this one.
Dropping a narrative buster.
Well, yeah, and it, I don't know if you saw this. When he wandered, literally wandered onto the pitch, he literally, I mean, because he's got that whole beard now and everything. Mm-hmm. He literally looked like a guy in like a Sunday league that just set his beer down and said, all right, I got to go play.
Remember the Nike commercial a few years ago that offered like the alternative realities for all the players? And Rooney was a guy who lived in like a caravan.
Yeah, this was that guy. Yeah,
it was
Caravan Rooney.
He is that guy now. That's him. But I'll tell you what, when he did wander onto the pitch, he instantly made the game better for United's sake.
Yeah.
Like, he had an immediate impact. And people have wondered, can Wayne Rooney be this, like, X-factor off the bench type player? Maybe he's figuring it out. That free kick was phenomenal. Like, let's just talk about that.
You almost knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The way it was just set up, you're like, he's absolutely going to go. First of all, he's absolutely going to go for goal.
Yeah, there was no way he was not going for goal. But he hit it perfectly. Execution-wise, it was, as Ray Hudson would say, a terabyte of skill.
Just say a lot, Ray.
That's all you have to say, Ray.
Say a lot.
But
a cornucopia.
It wasn't just that goal. It was the fact that he literally brought the game to life as far as United's attack was concerned. And it shows that he's still capable of that. And I think if he went to a smaller side, he could probably do a number for him.
So what would that be?
We've talked about this before. There's only one club in the Premier League that really...
You think he's going back to Everton?
He has to if he's going anywhere else.
So you think he would stay in the Premier League?
If he's staying in the Premier League, there's only one place he's going.
Where else would he go if he doesn't stay in the Premier League?
Major League Soccer. China.
I was going to say Major League Soccer. Oof.
I could even see Australia.
A Georgia summer would Manchester City. He would literally melt in a Georgia
Manchester
summer.
Manchester City buying him and putting him in Melbourne.
Yeah, you got to watch out when one of those Manchester clubs bring your player in, though. They'll hose you.
That's what I'm saying. Credit to Rooney. He looked fantastic in this. Pulled it back against a side that had pipped a goal. Looked like they were going to take it at Old Trafford as well.
Yeah, and this was the record breaker. So he is now the all-time goal leader for Manchester United.
No matter if you think Wayne Rooney's last 5 years have been shit or not. Guys, we're talking about literally one of the finest strikers of a generation.
They rattled off the list of guys that he now is above.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Don't make an argument that Wayne Rooney's crap. The overhead kick against Manchester City alone proves that. He could have scored that one goal his entire career, and you could have put him above a crap load of people that, like, other, like, fans consider to be good players.
Oh, yeah.
On that one terabyte of skill alone.
Speaking of... digital storage units worth of talent. Let's move over to Chelsea, where they have a not digital but very real 8-point lead in the standings after a 2-0 win versus Hull. This was it was a rough go at it as Hull gave them everything, but it was late in the first half. Oh yeah, that guy. Mr. Controversy himself, Diego Costa, getting the Blues on the score sheet.
That goal celebration. Forget the goal. The celebration of the chatter hands. Oh, my God.
I thought he was doing the chicken dance.
I knew exactly what he was doing. And immediately, like, I remember sitting in this very spot right now. Wife sitting where you're sitting. And I was clapping. I just started clapping. I was like... That is an amazing goal celebration. Diego Costa, fully aware that he most likely was having his head turned by an offer from China, and just doing the chatter, like, the only thing that matters is the chatter inside my head, not the chatter that was accurate about this team.
I was waiting for him to kiss the badge.
Ooh, man, it would be incredible if he did that. That would have been the best banter but ever here's the thing. From a player.
You knew he was going to score in this match.
Yes.
There's no doubt. I was surprised he didn't get two.
But what was really incredible about this, and I think this is a point worth taking in this match, was the fact that despite all those distractions, last year that would have been enough to put him off his game.
Mm-hmm.
This year, nah.
Well, and other managers may have said, "Okay, you're back in the squad, but you're not starting."
Yeah,
I'll come find you when I need you, but mm-hmm. you've not earned back your starting position.
Now, here's the real question:
Conte said, "Hey, we're trying to win a title here, folks."
But seriously, here's the real question. How soon does he get a new deal from Chelsea? Like, next month?
How soon?
Yeah.
No soon. This guy's getting sold in the summer.
You think?
I think all of his teammates said, hey, can you just put a tent on this circus for like 3 more months?
Do you really think so? Or do you think
I legitimately think right. he is on his way out the door. Go to China. Go get your $1 trillion a week. Sayonara.
This is the episode that someone is going to point out to us in July and be like, look which one of you is wrong.
And yes, I know sayonara is Japanese, not Chinese, by the way.
Ignore that.
No, ignore that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going.
All right.
I think he's going, but I think you could almost tell from just the veiled talk coming out of some of the other Chelsea players that they basically said, hey, we understand you got some money on the table other places.
Go get it.
Let's go get this title. Let's finish the job here and then man, go get yourself paid.
Yeah. Which I mean,
hey, go get yourself paid.
Go get yourself paid. No one's going to argue against it. Hey, before we get out of this, you're right. Hull looked fantastic this match.
Mm-hmm.
They've not looked particularly great over the last
Chelsea
few
didn't
months.
Look particularly great actually.
No, they didn't.
Eden Hazard had a terrible match.
Hull are improving, by the way. They've been better over the coming weeks, but over the last few weeks. That said, Ryan Mason,
one of your former clobbered.
Yeah, former Spurs player, got clobbered in this game
by Gary Cahill and him collided heads. Mm-hmm. Cahill somehow not only survived that and was able to continue on, but ended up scoring a goal later in the match mm-hmm. via a header.
But Mason ended up getting a fractured skull, blood on the brain. Very serious situation. I have a feeling we'll revisit this a little bit later.
Just maybe.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
But seriously, folks, all best of luck to him. Never want to see anyone get hurt in that manner. So,
speaking of... a little out of their head, Arsenal 2, Burnley 1, and Arsene Wenger got himself in a little trouble.
Yeah, he did. Let's just say you can't ever complain about what happens on the field when you are a coach shoving a fourth official.
So he's looking at he's been charged. He's looking at possibly a suspension. They play Chelsea in 2 weeks.
It's going to be multiple games.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he's on the sideline for the Chelsea game.
First match in February they play Chelsea.
By the way, this is also one of the most overrated punishments ever. Like, it's not like a player being sent off for 2 straight weeks. We're literally talking about a manager. He gets all the time in between, and then an assistant manager who's most likely sending text messages.
You wonder if he's sitting there like, how do I handle this situation? And he thinks to himself, you know who knows a lot about this? That I can maybe get some pointers on.
Yeah.
Old Jose Mourinho.
Hey, Jose, what is the best way to communicate with your bench?
Hi, guy that hates my guts.
Yeah.
And doesn't respect me as a professional in the least.
You know what? I could totally see Jose being like, here's the best way to handle this.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
Get in the laundry bin.
Yeah.
Which is something that Jose did once.
Yes. But couldn't you see Jose being like, no, I'm fine with doing it. I'll give you my secrets. It would be total Jose mind games.
Oh, this is a point of pride from Jose that he knows how to do this with you.
I would love to share this information.
An interesting match, though, all around. Mm-hmm. Arsenal
going down.
Well, first with scoring, and then like minutes later, losing a man.
Yeah,
that's not good.
That's right.
Xhaka going off.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Look. Was that foul probably a little harsh? Sure. Red, straight red. We'll dispute
what,
that.
What do we say? What have we said for years about Luis, about Coast, about all these guys?
Gareth
Bale. You build a reputation, and that's what happens. You get officiated by your reputation.
Granit Xhaka, this was his sixth red card in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Sixth. Yes, he's had one of those overturned. One. If you're a referee and you see a guy leave his feet, even if you don't fully see it, you're probably going to make that call if you feel like the guy has a history of making that type of tackle. So if you want to be mad at anyone, literally, don't blame the referee in this situation. It's impossible to blame him in this situation. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Blame the player who's created the precedent that got himself in trouble.
So they go a man down and have to hold on to a lead, which they weren't able to do as Burnley get the equalizer late, and it looked to be a devastating draw as Burnley pip a point. But because of all the riffraff during the match, there was 7 minutes, I believe, of extra time.
Yeah, 7 minutes of extra time.
Yet somehow it was in the 98th minute. There is a penalty.
Hey, it turns out they can add extra minutes in extra time.
Shawnee getting a cleat raked across his face. That's never fun.
No. There is some debate as to whether or not that's actually a penalty kick. Is that an indirect foul or direct foul? Well, because
he was well offside.
Yeah, and he was offside. Let's not ignore that. But earlier in the half, Arsenal had a clear penalty denied to them. So
win some, you lose some.
Yeah, these are the way these things go. Arsenal fans usually deny that they ever get any sort of benefit in these type of situations. Hey guys, look, sometimes karma does actually work out in your favor, just like it does for every team in this sport.
And Sanchez stepped up and buried the winner. 98th minute. Arsene Wenger celebrating from the stands. Good
I think
times.
It was more the tunnel.
Even. Is he in the tunnel? Yeah. I didn't get to see whether he was relocated to.
I just remember the fourth referee holding up his arms and kind of holding him back into an enclosed space. So
I'm so not, he went to.
I think
is there like a tunnel. Is it like an NFL stadium? Is there like a drunk tank in the bowels of not the quite. Stadium there where he got to be held up with some guy that you know. Got caught pissing through a program on somebody?
Maybe if Marco Van Basten has his way.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that was all of the insanity of the teams near the top.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a Premier League whip around. Where would you like to start?
Let's start with Palace Everton.
Palace Everton, and it was Everton getting the victory in this one. Seamus Coleman in the 87th minute. Left it a little late. Tom Davies, one of the kids that featured in that big victory last week, getting the assist in that one. Everton hanging in there. You know, they have had some moments this season where they have looked like garbage. And yet they have had some nice run of forms that have kept them right there. I think they're right there in seventh place, hanging tough. I mean, still a ways away from really factoring into anything as far as European spots.
It doesn't matter who's at the helm at Everton. Like, this is what happens. Up 1 week, down next week. Yeah, we're okay with this result. Oh, this one worked out perfectly. Like, it's never anything beyond, like, the mean for them. It's just a club that seems to always fall back to that central point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nothing wrong with that achievement. But, yeah, it just leaves a lot to be desired.
Dateline Payet, who West Ham get another W as their star sits out, waiting his hopeful transferred back to Marseille so his kids aren't bummed out.
Marseille supposedly pulled out of the deal today.
Oh, did they? They threw a third bid in. I guess did that go fall flat? I
heard that also was rejected. So,
you might want to figure. I want to figure out what you're doing then.
Either that or training with the reserves for the rest of the year.
Oh, that's worked out great.
Yes.
I think Floro Maluto did that for like 2 years at Chelsea.
And he's now like running amok in Ligue 1. So who knows?
It was Andy Carroll with the brace in this one as the Hammers playing well right now. Middlesbrough, again, continuing to leave a lot to be desired. This is, again, a club that we had a little bit of high hopes for. They even made a move bringing in Patrick Bamford.
Negredo as well?
Right. They brought in Negredo. They bring in Patrick Bamford this week.
Oh, that's right.
Signing him. Chelsea actually pulled him out of a loan and then sold him off to Middlesbrough. He actually was on loan there a couple of years ago and had, I believe, had the scoring title in the championship maybe 2-3 years ago for them. But he was, again, a sub there with 10 minutes left, was not able to do anything as West Ham continue up, you know, not really missing a beat for the most part.
That's right.
Without their want away star.
Okay.
Let's over West Brom 2, Sunderland 0. West Brom, again, continuing to play decent. They are in 8th.
They did dispatch of Saito Berahino this week.
Finally.
Yeah.
And it was like unceremoniously too. Like there was so many, transfer windows where it was just the saga of, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? How much did he even go for?
Like it wasn't
$7, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
They could have had like $25 million last year for him from Tottenham. And they were like, no, I'm not saying that I want Saito Berahino at Tottenham. But holy crap, what really unfortunate business that they did there as far as getting rid of him and maximizing the potential they could have gotten out of him.
Yeah, an interesting move there.
Mm-hmm.
As he leaves, he'll go to Stoke. Yeah. And hey, how about that?
That's right. Why don't we talk a little bit about Bournemouth 2, Watford 2? Two sides that are kind of like heading opposite directions. Bournemouth seem to be a bit on the upswing. Watford on the downswing.
Watford just struggling mightily.
Can't really close out matches right now at all to save their lives at this point. Talking about teams that seem to be a dichotomy. Leicester City losing 3-0 on the road at Southampton.
Mm.
Saving it all for Europe, apparently.
They look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get ready. You know, February's right around the corner.
Literally saving it all for Europe.
I think we all knew this was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we knew Leicester was going to struggle because what they did last year is impossible to duplicate.
And it's going just...
And they really didn't go out and, they brought in guys, but the thing that they didn't need last year, but on a given year you're always going to need, is depth.
Yep.
And they weren't able to shore that up.
No. And they thought they bought the right pieces to do that. And clearly that's not worked out. And the piece that they lost has been a little too much to overcome.
So they sit in 15th place right now. They are really only 5 points from the drop.
Well, that bottom like 6-7 places is pretty darn tight at the moment.
Yeah, probably. 15 and down is only a 6 point. 15 to 20 is only six points. That's
thin ice.
Yeah, that's a bad week, and all of a sudden you're looking at death staring right at you.
That's right.
That's the Premier League. Let's go stateside. All right, let's start with some moves for some U.S. men's national team players.
That's right.
One guy we know is not moving is Christian Pulisic. Got a new deal at Dortmund. He will be there, I think, until 2020.
That's right. I think that gets him like just shy of his 22nd birthday, by the way. Like, that still blows my mind a little bit. But we're talking about someone getting a contract extension at Borussia Dortmund, who's a regular in the team, who's also American. This is like uber Landon Donovan crap right now.
Gideon Zalalem is finally on the move. He will be loaned out away from Arsenal, so he's not going to Dortmund, where it was originally thought that he might move there.
Where's he going?
This is a loan move to VVV Venlo. It's a Dutch club.
I'm sorry, who?
Yep. VVV, so three Vs. You decide what you want that to stand for.
Yeah.
And then Venlo.
Venmo?
Venlo. Venlo.
Okay, it's not Venmo.
No, it's not, not Venmo. It's not a vending machine company.
So should we also be hyped?
I mean, he's probably going to maybe actually see a pitch.
Sure. Okay.
So that's promising, I guess.
Let's get hyped then.
And then Jonathan Spector is heading to MLS.
Yeah.
This was leaked essentially from his own club that he's playing for, like Birmingham City.
Yeah, his manager.
Leaked it out, hey, this guy's out of here. He's going back to America.
Build beans. Looks like Orlando City might be the pole position holders at the moment. Yeah. Yeah, talking about MLS players now, who are also in the U.S. men's national team mix.
Yeah, let's talk about a guy that is going somewhere probably, but we don't know where. As the NYCFC roster for the preseason tour of, I think they were heading to Jacksonville or something, came out. And a lot of names on that list. One of them not being Mix Discarud.
That's right. NYCFC leaving Mix Discarud off the preseason list.
He's also been tweeting. He's been tweeting a lot of pictures back in Norway, too, right now. Which, not horribly uncommon for
him. No, let's be real. He's one of the Americans that is one of those brought in Americans. He grew up in Norway.
Right.
Like, for all intents and purposes.
But you know what? To be fair, I feel like previous off seasons, he's just hanging out in Arizona with, like, his grandma, whoever it is, that gives him ability to play in the U.S. He's been – his Instagram is full right now of pictures of, like, Oslo.
All right. Well, perhaps positioning himself for a move back across the ocean.
Could be.
I'll be honest. I don't see him going anywhere else in MLS.
Well, that's the thing.
It's not going to work anywhere else for him.
If he's not going to be at a club where he can get free Yankees hats, I don't know why he would stay around.
Yeah, it's true. It's a great point. Who else in MLS has great hat game? If they have great hat game, Mix might be in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
It's possible. Another big MLS name making moves, U.S. men's national team fringe as well, even called into this camp, Dax Bacardi.
Yeah.
Traded by New York to Chicago.
Yeah.
It took him 4 days to put up an Instagram and Facebook, like, goodbye.
Him acknowledging that this happened.
Which I think is a true sign of a guy who actually cared about where he was playing. He was captain of New York Red Bulls. This is one of those moments
in
time.
He was a main fixture there.
It's one of those moments in time where you hate the way MLS is. Like, a player in a European country would have probably had a little bit more control there, would have been able to dictate his future a little bit more. Probably wouldn't be able to stick around at a club he wanted to stay at, but ultimately was not allowed to do that and was traded away because that's just the way MLS works sometimes. And he's heading off to Chicago. Hopefully, you know, spells good things for that franchise. But it is going to be really weird next year to not see Dax Bacardi in a New York Red Bulls jersey.
Another move within MLS. Alan Gordon going up to Colorado. to enjoy himself with the Rapids.
Yeah. It's a great signing by Colorado, like, in general. Gordo's one of those guys that everyone kind of, like, secretly loves despite being an MLS, like, only type guy, not a guy who's been ever, like, featured across on the other side of the pond. But he's just a really likable guy and someone who finds himself in successful positions. So, good signing for them, bad loss for the Galaxy.
There was one other news story that happened with U.S. men's national team players, and it was once again another kerfuffle with a member of the U.S. men's national team, or let's just say U.S. soccer, making a quip about players not born in America having, I don't know, that want to. As far as being part of the national team. And obviously this always brings up a lot. And I think a lot of this is always hyperinflated.
Mm.
I think there's a much ado about nothing in most of this. I don't think Tim Howard – I don't think – again, just like with the whole Wombach thing, I think you look at the body of work, you're going to probably say likely not a xenophobe.
No, probably not. But.
But what?
In the current climate.
Yeah, you can't. You just can't be popping
this
off like that.
This is a ridiculous line of thinking to actually say out loud.
I mean, listen, let's just all not go down this road again. Just say Timmy Chandler's by name, and then
yeah.
And then the whole ambiguity is gone, and then we just know, oh yeah.
I think we can all move on. Timmy Chandler is exactly who everyone's talking about when it comes
even
to...
Even Wambach was probably talking about
when Timmy Chandler. It comes to foreign players who don't really give a shit about playing for our country. Like, it's him. It's
just say his name.
Chandler. I'm fine with taking this on the chin. I hope my team tries to sign him one day, and this is enough to nix him. Like, this is a ridiculous situation. Yeah. Timmy Chandler is who everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Are there probably some other guys that have maybe had some wishy-washy moments? Sure.
And listen, I get that at the international level, I think the buy-in factor is high. You want guys to be there for the right reasons. You want guys to be there, you know, the compensation is not... really what you're talking about as far as club, and everybody looks as far as like putting all their effort into club. But at a country level, when you talk about Tim Howard, a guy who has been around for a while, you want guys to be sold out for that cause. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, listen, are there guys from other countries that are playing for the U.S. that may not be 100% sold out for playing for the U.S.? They just want to play international soccer, whoever it is. Sure. But I'm sure there's probably some guys that that are U.S. born that have played for the U.S. that are just doing it to do it. They don't actually, you know, there's not a sellout factor there either.
No.
I don't think that's an exclusive foreign-born thing.
Yeah. And let's be honest, like, if we're talking about full devotion to the crest and for the jersey and for the country and blah, 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 like, let's be real here. Landon Donovan and Tim Howard both took time off from the national team because they felt like it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to question people and their devotion to the national team, they should probably start a little bit with themselves in a lot of respects. So keep that in mind next time you're wanting to blast off about someone who's not necessarily born here playing for a national team.
We had a question.
We did.
We had a question of the week that we even actually... We're so excited about. We mentioned it on last week's podcast.
That's right. So last week we talked a bit about Juventus and their brand new logo that seems to be inspiring a lot of ire amongst fans all over the place. Blah, 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 whatever. The point that we wanted to get to with this podcast was, what is the worst logo? What is the worst one you've actually come across? Because there are some absolutely hideous logos, not just in American soccer, but across the face of the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
Bad logos are not necessarily a monopoly held by American soccer.
They're
literally everywhere.
So you guys submitted plenty. I submitted one. We talked about last week. This whole catalyst for this discussion was on the new Juve logo. The 1980s Juve logo, what we have deemed Ghost Horse.
Yeah.
That's a bad logo. It's very 80s, though. I mean, it's so 80s.
It's insanely 80s. And in fact, I kind of like it because it's so 80s. Like, it just screams it. It's a ghost lost in the fog, starting to fade into the background.
Like, it's so 80s, you wonder if, like, Hugo Boss designed that logo.
Hugo, is that what we're going to do here? We're going to make just
sure
logo call-outs for 90s brands?
It.
Okay, we're going to keep rolling with that then. I had one as well. I had a couple, actually. We're going to get into a lot of the different ones that we saw from fans. I think there is a bit of like a exposure bias that's happening here. You and I have worked in lower league soccer for a long time, and I feel like the lower down the pyramid you go, no matter what country it is that you're talking about, logos tend to get worse. Like, that's rule of
thumb. Well, I mean, let's call it for what it is.
Dollars.
At the lower level, you're not able to pay a marketing and design firm to create your imaging.
Maybe you'll get someone to donate it if you're
right.
Lucky.
That's generally what you're hoping
for. And there are plenty of teams where that's the case. But I'm going to single out two NPSL, two fourth division clubs, First, I'm going to start with someone near and dear to our hearts in some respects, Kalamazoo FC, their logo.
I like the color scheme, though.
The colors, really?
Yeah, I like a little bit of that. It's got a little bit of 80s vibe. But
teal and purple?
Teal and purple.
Oh, yeah. Man, that logo is bad, though.
Give me some of that.
The other one that is miles worse, Arise FC from Wisconsin.
From Eau Claire.
Eau Claire. They have a logo that features a bunch of yellow, which isn't bad on its own.
I think I've said this multiple times. It's essentially three different logo submissions that they decided everybody wins. We'll use all three of them.
It has a crest in it. It has...
there's like a black and white crest. Mm-hmm. There's a yellow Wisconsin...
state outline.
Outline with some accoutrements there at the bottom.
Yeah, a little yellow banner-ish type thing going.
And then,
In the middle...
And this is really the real...
This is where it really falls down here. A clip art gladiator.
Yeah.
With an A on it, you know, for Arise FC, which has literally nothing to do with Eau Claire, like, at all.
Yeah, Eau Claire, Wisconsin's pretty much just a farm town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the...
Good on them for having a team. But they're low.
It's a cool town. I like it. It's a nice little town.
Crap. I'm always literally, pro-Wisconsin. It's absolute crap.
It's not good.
Okay, so let's get into some of these other submissions because we literally had a boatload of people that sent them in. I'm scrolling down through them right now, so we're going to make sure that we get them all.
One submission that was thrown at us was the Carolina Dynamo.
That came from Jared Hondra.
Now, this logo is all over the joint.
Yeah.
So apparently the main investor in this club...
is a Nottingham Forest fan. Has to be.
Yeah, apparently it was like a shareholder of Nottingham Forest. So there's the Nottingham Forest, you know, wavy river line, and then the tree silhouette in red. Yep. Same red design.
Same red as everything.
On top of a slightly askew triangle with the word Carolina in all lowercase.
So that's definitely a call out to the area of Carolina that they are located in. That's a Piedmont triangle is what that's
Isn't there multiple triangles though in Carolina?
Yes. Yes, there are. But that's the call out that they're looking for there. It is particularly bad. That spawned a pretty large conversation.
I like the italicized, not only just italicized Dynamo, but the O is an italicized soccer ball.
Everyone knows that when you kick a ball hard enough, it's italicized.
It's italicized, yeah.
That's right. We saw a couple call-outs for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, one coming from Resist, Jeff Tebbets. He says, looks like a wolf out of old Tex Avery cartoons, but with a pompadour, which is pretty accurate.
Kilmarnock FC?
This came up multiple times.
Yeah.
We saw this from multiple people.
What may or may not be squirrels.
I think they're squirrels.
Okay. We'll go with them being crudely drawn squirrels.
Yeah, crudely drawn squirrels. That came
surrounding a soccer ball.
Gage Magoto pointed that one out to us.
But I think what is above the soccer ball is the most troubling part.
Yes.
It's like a hand doing the gun sign, like the shooter.
That's also something that Jesus does with his hands and a lot of the saints do with their hands in pictures. I'm going to guess.
Saying hey.
It's not Buddy Jesus.
Oh, okay. Not
it's,
that
it's
Jesus.
It's not that Jesus. It's more like that holy hand gesture. I don't know that there's another way to really explain it, but they kind of, I'm doing it right now where I'm holding my fingers up, two fingers up, middle and index finger up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on. It's Irish, so we're just gonna make that call that it's probably religious toned.
And then what appears to be a word in Latin at the top.
Yeah. Confidimus. It seems like a made up Latin word, actually.
Is that like confidence in Latin or
it
something like
that? It could potentially
be. Other people have pointed out, obviously we have a lot of people coming out of the woodwork with their feelings about other USL teams.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Riverhounds got mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Riverhounds were in there. Harrisburg City Islanders.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They do have a palm tree for an island in the middle of a river in Pennsylvania. Yeah. This is a team that I trialed with, by the way. So I have a lot of respect for them. Still the same head coach that I trialed under there. Yeah, pretty bad.
I don't even know what this is. Petrolero? Where is that even from?
Someone can look this up for us, but that is a really bad one. Petrolero.
There's so much going on in this one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a badge.
Yeah. Kind of like a police shield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have a Petrolero going across in an upwards motion, almost like the NHL logo.
It's a sash.
And then under it you have what appears to be a soccer ball, what appears to be, a radio tower?
Mm-hmm.
Like a radio tower.
I think that's actually an oil tower.
Oh, that's a terrible picture of an oil tower.
Petro gives an idea that sure. It would be oilish.
Petrol? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to go with radio tower.
A radio tower, Petrolero, whatever.
Then above that you have a drum? Are we going with that being a drum?
Maybe it could be a brown Android logo.
It could be the Android logo. That could mm-hmm. be a sponsored
element.
Some native advertising mm-hmm. there. And then what I think is I'm going to go with that's probably a sombrero.
Or a cowboy hat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an okay sombrero. That's a terrible cowboy hat if that's a cowboy hat.
Someone's drunk and they pass out on it. And then a sun coming up over the hills.
But the hills are literally in the sky,
mm-hmm.
Divorced from the green and blue connection here at the bottom where you see the tower.
Yeah, we would assume that's ground. Maybe
so there's two different grounds. Oh, is that an ocean?
Maybe the cowboy hat and the android, android are floating in the ocean below the mountains.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
There's an oil rig there.
Yeah, we're really
and
stretching
our
right
giant soccer ball.
That was the young Pope who offered that one up. He was also the secondary person to offer up the Kilmarnock logo as well. We saw a couple other ones in there as well. A good shout for maybe one of the worst, Yeovil Town with a really weird looking man face.
Yeah. It looks like his face is like a stone person.
And he doesn't know what he's holding. That's a really, really good one there as well. We saw a few other ones that rolled in here kind of late. Josh Babcock.
Mm.
He offered up one of a team called Chelsea.
Yeah, that's probably and, how it's
Tottenham, the Spurs.
Yeah, yeah, he's not a fan of those.
Yeah, screw you, Josh Babcock. We know what you're up to, trying to troll us. Our good friend Morgan Hughes.
Oh, yeah? What did he do?
Morgan from our favorite podcast up in Columbus, in the Aces Radio. He says, choose from any of the following. He offered the Michigan logo. He offered the Mexico.
Yeah, L-Tree.
L-Tree logo. He offered the Sounders logo and the Dayton-ish Lions logo.
I think you know it's what I get. It's my vote.
I'm guessing you're going to give it to the Dutch Lions, probably?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Basically all things that people from Columbus would hate is my main guesses there. We did see a few others that filtered in. We saw quite a few votes, come through as well. For one, like Cullis Racing Union, that's Chris White FC.
That thing is weird.
Yeah, that is a really weird
It's like
one.
A melted soccer ball person on some feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even, it's like a head and feet.
Yeah. We saw a couple of other ones that rolled through as well. Scrolling around here a little bit. Chicago Fire coming from Alex Sprague. I think we're getting into a little
it's not
bit.
It's not the greatest.
I
think we can all agree it's not the greatest.
I dislike it. It's got some good symbolism to it. There are a lot of bad crests out there. I think that's what it really all boils down to.
Is there one that, for you personally, sticks out as one of the worst things you've ever seen?
That Aris one is just...
It's pretty bad.
Epically bad. As far as, like, teams in the Premier League, the most recognizable league on the planet, Burnley, I know it's like a coat of arms and it's really, like, symbolic and all that, but it's just not marketable in any sort of way. So if we're talking, like, from a business sense, that one really rubs me the wrong way, but... Otherwise, what are you going to do?
Yeah. There's just some... You get down to the lower leagues and the financial backing to get a quality logo isn't always there.
No. It's pretty hard,
and it's
actually.
Pretty hit or miss.
That's right.
Because you're just hoping that this person that's doing you a favor actually has some kind of design sense.
Yeah, it's not very often.
If you want to see really bad logos, just go look at what indoor soccer in America currently has to offer.
Yeah.
There's not a good one to be had.
No, there really aren't too many good ones, period. That said, let's get out of this and go into the last segment for this week. Winners and wankers. Jeremy, do you have a winner and or a wanker that you would like to start off with?
Yeah. My winner is Christian Burgess, a defender for Portsmouth.
No.
That is my winner. So
I saw this. Yeah, Portsmouth this was so game, cool.
Yeah, it got, I think it was rained out or something. They did not have this match. Their match was postponed. So he went on Twitter and said, hey, don't know what to do with myself. Anybody need a player? Prefer the number 10 role. Again, this is a defender. Prefer the number 10 role. Alternately, might join the women's march in London.
Mm-hmm.
He did neither of those. Because instead, someone tweeted at him, hey, my U-12s training at Barnsbury Park at 11 sharp. You can help me coach. This was sent by Will. I imagine this just seems too British to not be true that this is his actual name. Will Chitty.
No, I think it's real.
C-H-I-T-T-Y.
No, it's definitely real.
So Mr. Chitty just kind of sent that tweet. Didn't really think anything of it. Next thing he knew, he's at practice with his U-11s. And Christian showed up and hung out with everyone. He took some pictures, stayed for the whole training, kind of gave some pointers to the kids. Super cool.
That's the type of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
really awesome.
It's just so inspiring to kids. Like, the opportunity to interact in that way is just unbelievable. So
I think
massive kudos.
And actually, something similar to that actually happened here once. Mm-hmm. Someone tweeted at second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds, Brennan Phillips, like, hey, my baseball team, middle school baseball team is playing today. If you don't have anything, and he showed up.
Showed up
to the game, hung out with everybody.
So cool.
Signed autographs.
My winner this week, I'm going to go ahead and go for the FA, the English FA, for merely considering retroactive punishment for diving. I'm tired of this nonsense of a referee trying to decide if someone's diving in a match or not. Maybe they get it, maybe they don't. But holy crap, video evidence is here for everyone in the world to look at. Just use it already.
Yeah, this is if we can,
so ridiculous.
If we can go back and look at certain things, why not go back and look at this?
Yeah, it's unbelievable that it's not being considered already. People want VR and games that will slow things down. Let's start with things that we can actually punish after the game. This is an easy one. So there's my winner, FA, just for thinking about it.
Your wanker?
My wanker this week, I'm going to go ahead and give mine to Marco Van Basten.
Oh, yeah?
Formerly great player.
Yeah.
Literally one of the best of his generation. Now one of FIFA's head technical directors. In fact, the head FIFA technical director. Comes out with a bunch of rules, suggestions to help improve the game. Some of these are really good. Limit the children's games to 8v8. I think that's a great idea. Only allow captains to speak to the ref. Also, think that's a really good idea. Stop the clock whenever the ball out of touch in the final 10 minutes. I don't know why I said minutes, but minutes, I can hear that argument. I don't necessarily think it's the greatest one, but you can do it. Then he threw out some really, really, really weird ones. Ditching offsides. Maybe it's because I'm a defender, but screw that idea. I do
Couldn't
not
you
want
just cherry pick
You then? Could just cherry pick. You just have a guy camp out on the line. That's a horrible idea. I know that people hate defensive soccer, but let's not overreact to this thing. NASL MLS style penalties. I'm going to be honest. Everyone hated this one. I'm actually totally in favor of it.
Oh, really? The whole run-up thing?
Yeah. I would way rather have that in regular penalties. It's fair to everyone then.
It's almost like how hockey does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly how hockey does it. So I'd be fine with that one. But the last one is the one that really, really chaps me for whatever reason. And that one is the whole idea of the sin bin, the orange card.
Mm.
I
thought it was supposed to be green. Now we're going orange?
The green was for good behavior. The orange The orange is a in between a yellow and red card. And then you get a 10-minute penalty out of it where you have to go and sit in like a penalty box like in hockey. I do love the idea of calling it a sin bin, by the way. It's like an English colloquialism that they always use for that concept of like the penalty box in hockey. Love that. Hate the idea, though, because it's so freaking ambiguous. It's already ambiguous between yellow and red.
That's the – I mean, he's thrown out all these suggestions, and so many of them, it's like he's all of a sudden turned into like former White Sox owner Bill Veeck, and he's just coming up with this insane kind of marketing kind of gimmicky thing.
Hey, guys, let's start a midget in a baseball game. Yeah. Like, it's that type of stuff.
Let's wear shorts and lapels.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same type of thing. So there is my wanker of the week, Marco Van Basten. Just because you're a great player doesn't mean you have great ideas for the match.
My wanker, the Daily Mirror.
Mm.
We mentioned it earlier when we were talking about that Chelsea Hull City match. Ryan Mason, fractured skull, blood on the brain, a bad scene.
Mm-hmm.
But according to an unsourced report from the Daily Mirror, it was a horrific scene, as they put on their front page that Ryan Mason was clinging to life.
Was his life maybe in the balance?
Didn't sound like it was that dire.
It seems serious, but
I mean, I think you can always take a turn for the worse.
Sure.
It can always go south on you, but you know, I mean, obviously right after that, like his family, Hull City, they all had to make statements saying like, no. He's in stable condition. It's fine. He's not like on his deathbed. It's like sports journalism works a little differently over there.
Yeah,
I understand. Right. There's things like the Daily Mirror and the Daily Mail that work in a little more of a gossipy tabloid way. But to go run with a story that a player who did have a very serious injury was like fighting for his life.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's probably a bad idea.
It's just unbelievable. So, quit trying to sell papers on literal death threats in some respects. So,
it bleeds, it leads.
That's right. That brings us to the end of this week's pod. If you have a question, comment, something you want us to talk about on next week's show, get a hold of us. Jeremy can be found at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. You can find me at Wrong Side of Pond. You can email us, contact at Wrong Side of the Pond.
Yeah. Do you know what next week's episode is?
What's that?
It's our transfer deadline episode, and this has been a terrible transfer window.
Well, hopefully we literally have nothing something to talk about. Just something. Let's throw out another question of the week already.
Okay.
This week, we did bad cress.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be positive people.
Oh.
Come on.
Okay.
Everyone loves to hate, but let's talk about love. Let's talk about what cress you like on next week's podcast. What are the best cress?
Okay.
Bring it.
Best crests.
That's what we're going to talk about. Prepare yourself for a tweet on probably Monday next week. That works.
That'll be your reminder.
That's right. All right. Have fun, kids.
Bye. 12 jump.